Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatos.
America, that's exactly what my show is all about. We are America. We the people are America. So our guest today is Garrett Ziegler, and I will tell you that a few years ago, my husband, who was really, really attentive watching things on Telegram, kept saying, you gotta get this guy Garrett Ziegler on your show. That is a true story. And I didn't really know how to get in touch with him, and actually, as it happened, within the last few weeks, I was able to connect with him, and he's here in studio with us today. He worked in the Trump White House. And he wrote what we're going to be talking about today. I'll just show you. He wrote this book, which I'll hold up. And it is, let me show the side first. That's how thick it is. It's a serious thick book. But this is the book we'll be talking about today. And I hope everyone listening will decide to purchase this book yourself. But the book is called Report on the Biden Laptop. It was actually pulled together by an organization he formed, Marco Polo. And it reflects an enormous amount of work, essentially reporting what is really in the Hunter Biden laptop, the famous Hunter Biden laptop, and it breaks it down in the most logical, orderly way, which we'll be talking about in just a moment. But first, I want to welcome to our show, Garrett Ziegler.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
I'm excited to have you here, and I'll tell you also for our listeners, we actually met for an hour before the show today because I had never met him before. And, you know, I know people, I get a comment after speeches and shows that I talk too fast. Okay, I'm just telling you, we'll be a competition up here.
You know, that's about the only thing I have in common with Ben Shapiro, is that we talk at the same speed, so.
But there's a lot of important things to say, and you gotta just get it
out.
Yeah,
you know, it's when you're passionate about something, you never know if you're gonna have the opportunity to see that person again. So you wanna get everything across, you know, that you can in the time, and that's why it's 179,000 words. I thought we were gonna get it done in a year, this dossier, but it took me twice as long. And I had a few lovely, righteous people who were angry because I said that it would be done at a certain time because I was budgeting 330 pages. Mm-hmm. But when there is so much criminality, I mean, and it's the American human carnival. Tom Wolfe couldn't create this dossier. He couldn't create the events that produced it because it's like A Man in Full or, you know, Bonfire of the Vanities. It's really something.
It is really something. That summarized it well. It's actually the depth and length, and I'm trying to find the note I made. Among many other things in this book, you break down the logically the contents of the laptop, and it's over 120,000 emails. Is that right?
Yes.
There in here? Over 120,000?
Well, not in the report. We just put the ones that were criminal in the report. So out of the 128,000 emails, which is the lion's share of the correspondence, there are iMessages and some other forms of communication on there. But our goal with this dossier was to put out everything that we could prove on paper, not just an allegation, or, you know, but everything that we could prove was a violation of a state or federal crime or regulation. And that number is 459. That's a floor.
459
state and federal
violations.
Yes.
Crimes. 459
yes.
Crimes. Okay, and it's actually 638 pages.
Yep.
It's a lengthy thing. And so before we dive into it, which is the whole rest of the show,
yes.
Quickly, if you tell our listeners, what did you do in the Trump White House?
Yes, so I worked for 23 months. My first day was February 20th, 2019. And so exactly 20 months. And I worked for a gentleman named Peter Navarro. Peter is a righteous, bombastic, eccentric, unique man who didn't play well with others because he actually believed what the president believed on trade. There are a lot of people in the Trump White House who didn't believe what the president believed on trade and thought it was their sort of calling to basically treat the president sort of like a bombastic child and sort of rein him in. Well, Peter wasn't like that. And so it quickly dawned on the president that Peter needed his own shop to work. He couldn't work well with Gary Cohn and other globalists. And so what he did was he signed an executive order creating the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy.
Yeah, trade and manufacturing.
Yes,
that was the thing he had.
Yes,
yeah.
And so Peter was a college professor for 30 years preceding his White House years from 86 to 16 at UC Irvine. And of course, the powers that be in the White House gave him a very low budget. And so what we had was four staffers for Peter, and it was essentially, I would say, a college research assistant position for PhD students. All of us were under 30. All of us were, you know, economic populists. I think what the founders did on trade, and a lot of people don't believe what the founders believe on trade. And so what we did for Peter was create slide decks, research things. It's in fact what what made me want to start Marco Polo. Open source intelligence is changing the world, and what we can do with county property records and everything else. I couldn't have started Marco Polo in 1988. There just wasn't the amount of data that's out there. And so I think what Marco Polo is trying to take the vastness of what's available through open source intelligence and sort of revealing what's going on underneath the table of money laundering and other crimes. And so I worked with Peter for nearly 2 years, and how I sort of got a following on Telegram was that I was one of the half a dozen White House staffers who didn't conduct interviews for their next job before President Trump left. There were literally White House staffers having interviews in the White House in the middle of December of 2020 because they didn't believe that there was election fraud, and most importantly, they're careerists who will do whatever they can to move up. And I obviously, like you, believe that it was a joke, that mail-in ballots are, and even some Democrats admit this, are ripe for fraud. And so I worked with Peter on the quote-unquote Navarro report, which outlined, and again, this was a very conservative report like this is. We put nothing in there that we have no evidence for. A very conservative report that outlined all of the irregularities that occurred, the spikes in the middle of night, the lower standards for mail-in ballots vis-a-vis in-person. And so, Peter was sort of like an uncle to me, and he's, of course, getting persecuted. He's going to be on trial next month in the District of Columbia for quote-unquote defying Congress, and they asked him to do an illegal thing, which is produce communications which are privileged because they were between him and the President of the United States.
Yep. So. Yeah, I love all that background. And Peter Navarro was on the show earlier. He also wrote a great book about the year of COVID. He called it In Trump Time, My Journal of America's Plague Year. Yeah. And he was brilliant talking on the show about how quickly he saw what the problem was with COVID. And he was really brilliant in his assessment of the situation. Well, let's turn to this book. And I'm just going to tell our listeners very quickly. This book, people make reference to the Hunter Biden laptop all the time. And they say, because there's fraud, because somehow something's wrong with something that was in the laptop.
Or he smoked crack or something.
Yeah, and there were lurid pictures in there. And he was, he engaged in a lot of,
Caligula-like behavior.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway, what I want to say about it is, the laptop has what really lays out what the DOJ should have done the moment they received the laptop and the FBI received it in its possession. The FBI had this laptop long before the 2020 election, could have looked at the contents, could have realized a criminality reflected in many, many documents, and they just sat on it. Yes. So this is really what they should have produced, and really because they didn't, and because most people don't know what the laptop says, your book, I'm just going to quickly tell our listeners how this is organized, because it's just brilliant. At the beginning, just the table of contents tells you, they're going to tell you the background, and I will say, every bit of fact in here, it has facts at the top, footnote, 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 footnote. There's no speculation. There's no accusation. It's just data. I love this kind of stuff because it's irrefutable. Business-related crimes is one section. Runs through all the business-related crimes proven by the contents of the laptop and then tied to the federal statute or state statute which it may violate, broken down by countries, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Romania, sex-related crimes, of which there are many, and images, which we will not share on this show, and then drug-related crimes. And what you really realize is the laptop is just, it should have been a treasure trove to the FBI. Should have been. So I just want to jump in and start.
Yes.
You talk in the very beginning, you use this term, I told you I like this term a lot. You use this term about the way the FBI, so everyone knows Hunter Biden, in some apparent confused mental state, brought his laptop into a repair shop and forgot about it. So they have the laptop.
April 12th, 2019. And he brings three in. Because, of course, mere mortals like myself and non-princelings, I have one laptop.
Yeah.
But Hunter had three, and all three of them were water damaged, some more than others. One of them was completely gone.
Totaled, yeah.
The other could be used, but it had to be used with an external keyboard, which the repair shop owner gave him. By the way, he never returned the keyboard, so Hunter actually owes him $85 for a keyboard. And then the third one was able to be salvaged, the data was able to be salvaged from it, but it needed a couple of days of work to do so. And that's the one that I have the copy of, and I have a copy of the hard drive. I don't have the original one. That was given to the FBI. It's probably at the bottom of the Christina River outside of Delaware right now.
Yeah. Bottom of their to-do list, too.
Yes.
You may, and I think one overarching point that this makes, and I think it's really important people to understand, you know, for most of our lives, most of American history, as long as since the FBI was created, most people think the FBI is supposed to be neutral and is supposed to be engaged essentially in enforcing the laws again equally as to all people. You use an expression that's going to bug me if I don't find it.
Multi-vector quickly. Suppression campaign.
Say it again.
A multi-vector suppression campaign.
Yes, multi-vector yes. suppression campaign. Isn't that great? So just give us a run through of the FBI's conduct once they had this laptop in their possession long before the 2020 election. And what you mean by that when you say multi-vector suppression of the truth, really?
Yes, so our thesis is much different than what you'll get from, say, Sean Hannity, which is he believes, and I'm not even paraphrasing him, I'm using his exact verbiage, which is the seventh floor of the FBI is the problem, the leadership, the assistant deputy director, et cetera. We take a much different approach, and the reason why we do is because it's borne out by the paper trail and by the communications that we have found, which is line agents, lower level folks, so the people at my equivalent at the White House, not, you know, the Donald Trump level, the people who actually do most of the work, they're the ones who stonewalled, who covered up, who basically told the shop owner, hey, if Hunter comes back into this shop for his laptop, stall him for a couple weeks, we'll make up an excuse and give it back to you. So they were the ones playing cover up, and their agent, the agents' names are Josh Wilson and Mike Zelak. And it took us 14 months and a couple of private investigators to actually find a picture of this guy. He had
Zelak.
Zelak, yeah. Zelak deleted his Facebook, no pictures on LinkedIn. He basically scrubbed his online presence in October of 2020 when his name was leaked. But I wasn't pleased with the level of granularity that was out there. I knew that the Republican Congress, even though they were in the minority for those 2 years, wouldn't take the time to put something like this together, which they should have. If they're in the minority, the Republicans in Congress should have been writing this report. But I knew they wouldn't. They would have, they punted. And so I did it. And it really goes into all the agents, Mike Zelak, Joshua Wilson. So all this was happening in the Baltimore field office. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but the FBI has field offices, obviously, but they also have resident agencies, which aren't as big as field offices, which are basically satellite offices. So the Wilmington, Delaware resident agency is under the purview and direction of the Baltimore field office. And the aforementioned agents, Zelak and Wilson, worked in that resident agency. And again, they didn't seek out this material. They didn't want to go after Hunter. What happened was this shop owner, after Hunter left it there, saw all of these crimes, called them, and they basically kept him, you know,
stalled him
for at least 6 weeks before they finally were forced to take it in. And his father, the shop owner's father, Steve McIsaac, is a retired Air Force colonel, served the country honorably, you know, for decades, and he actually went to the Albuquerque field office too to let them know about this, saying, hey, this is explosive stuff. Why anybody would put this on their computer is insane. But they didn't do anything. They don't want to touch it.
They didn't want to touch it. And so eventually this laptop made its way,
yes.
I mean, it was to the FBI, and then portions were leaked to New York Post. Is that, yeah?
Yeah, so after JP realized, JP himself, the laptop.
This is the shop owner,
yes.
Max Isaac.
Yeah, it's a weird Scottish name, but yeah, JP Mac Isaac is his name. And he admits that he was a little bit naive going into this. He thought the FBI was going to do its job. Once he realized they weren't, which is a very sad state of affairs, he gave a copy of the hard drive, which he had made before he gave the original to the FBI.
Wisely.
Yes, very wisely. And I applaud his courage. We wouldn't have this if it weren't for him. He gave a copy to the attorney for Rudy Giuliani named Bob Costello, who then gave it to the New York Post. And I got it through Rudy.
Okay, so I will tell you something else for our listeners and our audience here. So we met an hour before this show, and I had this book, and I, you know, put my usual sticky thing going, and I said, look, I don't want to, you know, put you in the spot. So if I just jump to, what are the crimes you were uncovered in Romania? You know, could you answer? He said, yeah, I pretty much have the whole thing memorized. I mean, which I thought was astonishing.
Well, it's like any author.
I mean,
said your sister was an author. If you spend 18 months doing something, That is
yes.
what I did every day. So I have to memorize. It's my duty to.
Okay. One point I want to make before we really dive in the contents was, you talked about in preparing this, you and your team, when people were going to be featured, because
yes.
They were in pictures, they were in emails, you made the attempt to contact
anyone. Every single one of them. Every single one of Hunter's business partners, every single drug dealer, every single hooker. I called every single one of them. 95% of them told me to F
Go
off,
away.
Buzz off, yes. but 5% of them talked, and it's astonishing what Hunter told some of these women. He basically
told these hookers.
Yes, the president. And remember, it's not like Joe is pleading with the American people and saying, hey, look, I have a troubled son. His brother died. He's addicted to substances. He's going to be in Montana in a cabin painting. Just let him be. No. Joe said this was the smartest man he knows from a pure intellectual capacity.
Right.
He said that in December of 2020. So to me, I'm looking at that saying, all right, fair game. this guy has no repentance, doesn't apologize for anything, has no self-awareness. In the president of the United States, who has a nuclear code, says this is the smartest man he knows. So why wouldn't you want to learn about the smartest man he knows?
There you go.
The president of the United States says it's the smartest man he knows. He's worthy of a what we call a digital colonoscopy.
Okay. That's a memorable term.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what this book, I mentioned as we start, what the book does, and I just want to kind of run through, because this isn't just to embarrass Hunter Biden or the family.
No, it's only about crimes.
It's about crimes, and crimes that matter. It's not jaywalking, and it's not people who, you know, missed a small amount of income they didn't declare in their taxes.
Yes.
Truly consequential crimes. And so I want to try to run through these briefly. Everyone knows the story on Ukraine.
Yeah.
And because I enjoy this clip and only played it about 100 times on my show before this, but Emilio, I sent you this clip. This is he who occupies the White House. What he had to say, do you have that? Oh, we do. Go ahead,
lovely.
Please.
No, I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Okay, yeah. So let's just start with, this is a, you know, this I played this, of course, all the time
iconic.
During the impeachment of Trump.
Look where they're at. Beautiful globalist council of foreign relations. That's a Tom Wolfe novel right there.
Oh, yeah. But you know, so he, Joe Biden, I guess he was VP at the time, it's getting an echo in here, he was referring to wanting to have a prosecutor fired. I think we all know, but tell us quickly why he wants that prosecutor fired.
The name of the gentleman is Viktor Shokin, Shokin. He's a Ukrainian. He was basically their district attorney, and he was investigating Burisma, which is a Cypriot registered, I love that because it's money laundering capital of the world, Cypriot registered Ukrainian-based gas company that Hunter sits on the board of and was making, by the way, it's not 50 grand. That's fake news from Reuters. The amount that Hunter was receiving was $166,000 a month. For sitting on this board, has zero experience in energy, can't speak a word of Ukrainian, doesn't know anything. And his press release of him announcing that he got the spot is that he was going to work on corporate governance and transparency. It'd be like John Wayne Gacy being a counselor. It doesn't match at all. And he split half of that with his buddy Devin Archer, who's much more polished, much more handsome. Convicted felon, of course. He ripped off an Indian tribe for $60 million. But Devin Archer received 83 grand of that. So $83,333.33 was given to Devin Archer and Hunter Biden.
Every month.
Every single month. So it's $1 million a year. And again, for nothing other than what it really was, which is we call it in the report an insurance policy that the Ukrainian oligarch who beneficially owned Burisma, his name is, well, they call him Nikolay, but his last name is Zlochevsky. That is his insurance policy to not get prosecuted.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I need a Westerner to make sure that these people don't actually enforce the law against me. Hunter Biden's a guy.
Okay, so you do in this section on China, which I love what you're doing. You're pointing out crimes, and you actually list the statute.
I can't remember anything if I don't see the guy's face.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was just going to say that everything, it's
on page 89.
There's not 600 pages of writing. It's about 375 only. Half of it is exhibits. right? So if it's not a bore to read, that's important, because if I were you and listening, I'd be like, I don't want to read 600 pages, right? But there's pictures. This is the G-rated section, but everything has pictures, and there's exhibits. So when I'm saying, or when I talk about an interaction, you don't have to search for it. The email's right there. So we call this the narrative, and then at the top it's the when, where, who, what. So when did this occur? What venue? Could a U.S. attorney or state level prosecutor bring the charge in? And we have no illusions of this happening. We were just saying, for the record, this is where it would be. Who Hunter was involved with it, you know, during the interaction, and then what statute it is. So that took me 6 months of half of writing this report was finding which statutes corresponded with which violations.
Which is an impressive effort. Even if a lawyer had to do it, it's an impressive effort.
I did have a lawyer self.
Okay.
It wasn't me alone who did this. There's a team behind me, two private investigators, an attorney, and a forensic accountant helped me write this report. I'm just the public face of Markipol. I could not do this alone.
But so to break down, so we have, I mentioned China. China,
yes,
is the first one where you dedicate a whole. Is there a way you can succinctly summarize it? Has it worked this way to tell us, well, what should Hunter or others be prosecuted for relevant to China?
Yes, so there's two big deals that Hunter makes with China. BHR, which is a state-backed private, and there's nothing private in China, a state-backed private equity fund that Hunter still owns 10% of. To this day, his dad's in the White House, and he owns it through a shell company called Skinny Atlas. He told me you were from the Finger Lakes. He names everything after the Finger Lakes, because that's where his mother was from, who died when he was two. So Skinny Atlas LLC, to this day, owns 10% of BHR. The violations that occurred through that are, number one, FARA, Foreign Agent Registration Act. Hunter was acting as an agent of these Chinese foreign principals without disclosing that representation to the Justice Department. This is the same thing they got Paul Manafort for,
right,
ironically.
I was just going to say, yeah.
If we put Manafort's mugshot in there, not to humiliate the guy, but to say, hey, look, this is the level of hypocrisy. They can put him in the pen and get him pinched. And by the way, all the payments that Hunter received as a result of that illegal representation are subject to forfeiture. So it's not just FARA. All of the millions that the Bidens made through the FARA violations, that is by definition money laundering, which is what we can talk about at the end with Jamie Comer's new press release today. So they're laundering money. The biggest one with China is FARA, the multiple FARA violations, acting on behalf of foreign principals. And again, America, the DOJ is pretty lenient on this. All you gotta do is file a paper. You got to say who you're doing it for, when it's occurring, what you're doing, and how much they paid you. So what Hunter was doing could have been done legally if he had registered, but he didn't. Because why? Because it's so disgusting. He didn't want anybody to know about it. And if we didn't have his laptop, we wouldn't know about it. So, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, his registration, also, if you've got to begin to declare the money you're making, that raises questions.
Of course it does.
Because
daddy's the VP.
That?
Yes. And you know, there was a recent, I wouldn't even call it a limited hangout. The New York Times recently put out a puff piece. I think the title of it was Hunter Biden's Tangled Web Comes Front and Center. Came out in January. Kevin Moore's probably paid these writers to put this out. It's absolute propaganda. I would say what my grandpa would call it, but that'd be inappropriate.
Yeah.
But
hold back.
The thesis is this, that Hunter himself, this is all complete nonsense, but this is what the New York Times says, that Hunter didn't do any of this work himself. He subcontracted it out. Well, guess what? None of the subcontractors would register for FARA either. So this guy that they didn't name in the piece, his name is John Sandweg. He was the head of ICE. So you know the border disaster during Obama? This guy was running ICE during the Obama years, John Sandweg. He's from Arizona. He didn't register for FARA. So based upon New York Times' own faulty reasoning, meaning if John Sandweg registered for FARA, at least they could have plausible deniability saying, I mean, they don't because we have the emails between Hunter and John saying, Hunter's doing this, John's doing this. But if John at least registered for FARA, the New York Times would have a fighting chance at covering it up, but they don't.
The thing about FARA is it can seem to most people's minds as kind of a technical thing. It's not, you know, it's an understands the law and I understand people have been prosecuted, but it's not inherently an evil thing. I should have filed a paper. But really what we're watching with the money flow to the Biden family,
yes,
it's buying influence.
Exactly, and they're not all countries are created equally. By law, I would have to register if I represented an Englishman, right? But what the Englishman wants from the American government and what the Chi-Coms want are different things. And so it's not necessarily that Hunter Biden is working on behalf of a foreign principal, it's that he's not declaring it, and who the foreign principal is. It's that they're connected to the CCP, they're connected to Romanian corrupt oligarchs. And so it's not like Hunter's working for, you know, a Japanese person where there's high, you know, Japan has a lot of, I won't say a lot, but more transparency than a lot of countries.
Yeah.
They're a developed economy with accounting standards. There are no accounting standards in China. If anything's going to embarrass Xi, that person becomes, you know, persona non grata. So it's whatever the CCP wants is their standard.
So the little video clip we just watched, that involved Ukraine and Burisma and Hunter's role. Is Hunter, is that money that's going on Burisma, is he essentially receiving money and buying influence in some way with America? Is that a buy influence situation?
Yeah, it, totally, because why is Joe, so the main left wing lie that they're going to say is that what Joey was talking about right there, that talk occurred in January of 2018, so this is a year after Joey B. got out of office. They're going to say that Joey B. was, I call him what his siblings call him, because I just don't respect him. I've seen all of his private communications.
Joey B., for everyone, is he who occupies the White House, but his siblings call him Joey, so now he's Joey B. today.
So there's a particular congressman that I loathe. His name's Dan Goldman. He's from New York, and he was the lead counsel for the Democrats for the impeachment. He said at the hearing a couple weeks ago that Joey was just effectuating U.S. policy, that everybody wanted Shokin gone, and their defense is that Shokin wasn't going far enough, that Joe wanted Shokin out because he wasn't prosecuting corruption, when in fact we have internal interagency memos as of November of 2015. Because remember, when he's talking on the phone with Poroshenko that he's recalling, that's occurring in December of 2015. Yeah. So a month before that, we have interagency memos that John Solomon released with Just the News showing that the U.S. government collectively, the agencies, think that Shokin is doing a good job. But then 2 weeks later, Joey doesn't like him. And so, the official U.S. policy is that we want him gone now. But we have paper saying that the State Department, Treasury, all these other entities approve of him. And why were they talking about Shokin? Because Ukraine was applying for another IMF loan, and the United States had to decide whether or not to support that IMF loan. So we have internal documents proving what Dan Goldman is saying is false. And nobody in the Hill is articulate and sharp enough to just cut him off at the knees right there at the mic, because he's lying. So I think this is all very important. Hunter wouldn't have got paid if his daddy weren't the VP. He admits that now. And it's all buying influence. It's all illegal per the FAR.
It's all buying influence. I could go through all the countries you list. You have business-related crimes. We can't do them all because there's so many other things to talk about. But you mentioned Romania, and I just have a little soft spot for Romania. I mentioned before the show because I have a friend who really helped change things over there. But she was there under Ceausescu. So what are the crimes that the Bidens are tied to related to Romania?
Yeah, there's actually a Seth Rich connection to this Romanian thing, not directly, but through his brother Aaron. So Hunter was hired by a real estate tycoon who married into communist royalty named Gabriel Popoviciu. Gabriel Popoviciu.
J&M Jewelry provides online jewelry appraisals that are convenient, secure, and affordable. Appraisals are usually completed within 48 hours and sent directly to your email. Contact us today or visit our website to use our appraisal request form. jandmjewelry.com.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
The Kelley Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelley Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelley Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelley Key. The Kelley Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KelleyKey.com with free shipping.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination.
Only do that, you have to declare that representation to the Justice Department. And the reason why I'm hammering this so hard is because we heard ad nauseum this statute cited for the entirety of Donald Trump's presidency. Very thing. It's like Gables 101. They said it's in this report, but it's been attributed to Saul Alinsky, but Saul Alinsky actually didn't say it. There's no record of him saying it. It's actually Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda leader, that said the most clever propaganda that was used in Germany against the war was our opponents doing that which they accused Germany of doing. And so that's the most telling irony about all of this, is that the very thing that they accused Trump's associates of doing, of acting on behalf of Ukrainian interest, they did it at a bigger scale for a longer period of time and for more money.
On this, back to the subject though of trading on a name. You know, it's one thing if I trade you, the example, yeah. If you trade on a name, and so your friend might get a tryout to be in a movie or something, yeah. Because I know someone, those kind of favors. But this impacts foreign
policy. Yes.
It impacts the spending of American money. It impacts the way our government is perceived and how we act around the world. It's interference with the integrity of the American government.
Yeah, I got a degree in econ, and I couldn't stand to do a PhD program in that because they're so egghead and everything. But they have this word called externalities. So if we're measuring human sin, that the nepotistic sinful example that you cited with the movie, that sin has minimum negative externalities, meaning that nepotism is not going to have a negative influence on the country writ large. But Hunter's sins, Hunter's nepotism, and Hunter's illegal representation of a foreign interest has consequences that we can't even decipher yet. The billions that are going to the midget Zelensky over there, we don't know everything that's going to occur as a result of that. And that, I can argue, is based upon Hunter's work in Ukraine with Burisma.
Yeah.
Because first of all, Burisma is still operating, and second of all, Hunter's other business, the Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners VC fund that we alluded to, they were invested in Metabiota, which had biolabs over there. And Victoria Nuland, to Congress, testified under penalty of perjury, if that's still in force these days, that we have biolabs over there.
Yeah.
So it's all connected. You know this, you know, as well as I do. So I think that what we are trying to do is, we don't have any illusions that our report's going to get Hunter a federal mugshot. What we wanted to do is lay it all out, and if for some reason 60 years from now people want to know exactly what happened here, because I love this book called The Lives and Times of the Roman Emperors. It goes through the first 10 of them, right? Yesterday was the Ides of March. I want to do the same thing. I wanted to do the same thing with Joey's family, and we lay out the entire family.
I want to turn to talking about China next.
Yes.
It's been in the news much recently. We talked about it before. We have a Republican congressman from Kentucky, head of House Oversight over the weekend, James Comer, saying, yeah, essentially, you know, we have documentation now.
Yes.
But before we get to that, I want to plant that seed. Before we get to that, the other thing I want to commend about this book is the detail you're going to now is something that for most of human history, for U.S. presidents, we don't find out till 60 years later. The president's long gone, passed away, finally archives releases something. We were just talking about this before we came on. But this is current day. This is our president. This is what his family does. And this is, it's stellar in its exposure of the Biden corruption, especially as he plans to run for a second term, but stellar and otherwise never going to be released by Treasury, archives, or anybody else.
Yeah, it's really,
but because of the laptop, it was a gift from heaven.
It was a gift. I can't say better than that. All I'll say is that when the presidential archives for Trump or Biden gets opened in decades from now, by statute it has to wait until some people are gone, some people are dead. We'll only get a lot of it secondhand, but this laptop is all firsthand. You're reading emails directly from Hunter in real time while he's going through his divorce proceedings, and he's complaining to his attorney that Kathleen, his now ex-wife, took the debit card, and he is complaining about her taking the debit card while he is visiting hookers at night. So what I'm trying to say is we're not just proving that Hunter lied. We're proving the human comedy behind it, because we have other metadata from his iPhone, which linked to his Mac through iCloud, of what he was doing. So for example, I'm not changing subject. I'm piggybacking off of China. You mentioned China. One of the key business partners to the president's son to this day is the nephew of Whitey Bulger. Everybody knows Whitey Bulger. His namesake, his nephew, who they call Jimmy Bulger. You can't make it up. He is Hunter's business partner in BHR, and he sent Whitey's nephew as his proxy to a board meeting. And while Whitey's nephew was voting on behalf of the president's son at a BHR board meeting, Hunter's looking at pornography at 4 a.m. on his computer. So we have this amazing, hilarious picture of the board meeting minutes with his browser history overlaid on top of each other. Yeah. So it's not that his daughter graduated from college and he had Jimmy Bulger be his proxy. It's that Hunter doesn't do any work. And the big
Yeah. I want to turn to China now, because it has been the news we were talking about before, and at least Congress, the Oversight Committee, looks like it's beginning to make headway. They got Treasury to give them,
yes.
After some arm twisting, Treasury gave them some information, and they're now able to say that with certainty that there is a record now of money going directly from the CCP to the Biden family.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell our audience our deal we made, and then we'll get into what that is. So here's the deal. He brought one extra copy of his book, which
it's
is
4 pounds.
Here.
I thought I could fit.
Anyway, one extra copy right here. So when we get to Q&A time, whoever gets closest to guessing the amount of money we now can prove went from the CCP to the Biden family, you get this book for free. So start thinking about that number. So don't give away the number.
Okay.
So the low amount that Comer said the other day was we can trace at least $3 million. I think he said from the CCP to the Biden family, and I think that gets more in the realm, because you are so aware of the details and integral relations and people, and but when the common person wants to hear, why are you saying Hunter Biden's corrupt? Why are you saying the Biden family is corrupt? Isn't that just screaming?
It's the definition of money laundering. So those funds that you just alluded to, they were funneled through a front man. His name is Rob Walker. He's a former Clinton aide. Hunter met him in the 90s, and he's Hunter's partner in a lot of these deals, in the CEFC deal, the Romanian deal, and Rob Walker was the first entity that received the cash. So we have a diagram in the report, so we lay it out, but it goes Ye Jianming, who's the CCP-linked energy tycoon, who's been disappeared, by the way. And next week will be the fifth anniversary that Ye Jianming was arrested at the personal request of Xi Jinping. So 5 years have gone by, nobody's heard from this guy. His wife and kids still live in a penthouse in Manhattan. But he's Hunter's former partner who's just been disappeared. He might be fish food in the Yangtze. But regardless, he sends those wires to Rob Walker. It's a Delaware base, of course. Delaware LLC called Robinson Walker LLC. That then is funneled to the Biden. So there's always frontmen. I mean, it's basic money laundering. You try to create as many layers of obfuscation between the ultimate sender and the ultimate recipient, and that's the only smart thing. Well, it's not smart, but that's the only thing that Hunter is passionate about, is creating layers between money flows. And so so the subpoena that you alluded to, and they were very smart. I hate the letters that these congressmen send because it's all a PR campaign, because they send the letter and then send it to CBS. But they finally got smart on February 27th and sent a subpoena, which I had been praying for every day. So they sent a subpoena to Bank of America for the bank records of Rob Walker, which was very sharp because, he's the first leg in this chain. And because they got his records, they're able to see the entire trail of the transfer. So they see where Rob Walker got the money from, and of course, like 48 hours later, the exact same dollar amount. They should have been smart. If they were true, if they were Al Capone level, they wouldn't have done round dollar transfers.
Yeah.
That flags FinCEN right away. They should have done like $14,282, but no, Rob Walker was just like right on the money. Whatever he got from Ye was what he sent to the Bidens. And so they did the subpoena of Bank of America. They have the copies of the thing, which are already in our report, and it's just validation. And what crimes? It's money laundering. It is straight up money laundering.
So it's money laundering, and I did a little hit on somebody else's show yesterday.
Yes.
On this very topic, which was, it's one thing, it's bad enough money laundering coming to the hands of the Biden family, but that's compounded, or it's occurring at a time when China is clearly America's number one enemy, worldwide, our number one enemy. They had their 2020 meeting of the party, the big party meeting where they announced their plan to be the world's single superpower by 2049, which is basically the 100-year anniversary of the communists taking over China. They've announced they want to take us down. They have announced through other publications, which I've talked about in the show. So this is a country that wants to take us down, and he who occupies the White House is sitting there receiving money from them, and obviously, to many people, compromised as to his ability. I mean, this is why it gets around to the existence of America, the safety and security of America. It's not just lousy, creepy theft and money laundering. It's American security.
You said it better than I could. It's not that we're talking about wire transfers from Brazilian tycoons. This
right.
is the top of the top. If you have one country in the world, and they make it their express mission, like you say, they're not even hiding it.
They announce it.
They're inside of every institution, academia, and it's really selling out. They will take the Chinese cash so long as, the Bidens are willing to sell out America so long as they get their nice McMansion and beach house, and which, by the way, all those houses have then have been found out to have hosted classified documents, hilariously.
It was a mistake. He didn't mean to leave him.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
He just has Louis bodies. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to say that.
Okay, so we have about seven more minutes, and we'll go to audience questions. And I want to hit, and this always goes by. I told you I needed 3 hours. I really did tell you that. Okay. So the other crimes beyond business-related we've been discussing, you have sex-related, drug-related, influence peddling, and then what we should do about it. And sex-related crimes, what do you say to the argument, okay, everyone knows Hunter Biden, obviously he's a sex addict, he's mentally unhealthy in the kind of conduct he engages in, but what does that matter to America?
Oh, well, I think that not every sex crime is created equal. Some are more important than others. I think, from an objective standpoint, the times that he engaged in human trafficking was much more important than just a pure state-level solicitation. So what do I mean by that? We have proof that Hunter flew a 19-year-old girl, not an underage girl, but a 19-year-old girl from California to New York to engage in prostitution. That's a clear violation of the Mann Act. That statute just put R. Kelly and Ghislaine Maxwell in the pen for 10 to 20 years. So what our reasoning for including those crimes is basically to show the double standard in the United States, that we can have proof in text messages, videos, emails, wire transfers, Venmo payments. I became an expert on Venmo. I cite like six different academic studies on using Venmo to launder money for prostitution and drug deals. And I called all these drug dealers. And so why it's important to get info on Hunter, why it's important is that, first of all, in the drug-related context, Joe Biden was the force behind creating a distinction, a legal distinction and a sentencing distinction between crack and powder cocaine. Set that aside, whatever you think about that. The irony that his own son gets kicked out of the Navy for cocaine, gets arrested the weekend after he graduates high school for cocaine, and is in rehab a dozen times for cocaine, and yet never gets arrested, only just to get, embarrassingly kicked out of the Navy. and never faces any real consequences. The fact that his daddy was the one who put those laws in place and nobody's allowed to talk about it, it's the height of hypocrisy. It's, oh, those are for all the plebeians. Those federal, yeah.
That's my, yeah. It is the rule of law. We have featured on this show, we have wonderful organizations, as other, every other city does, fighting sex trafficking, exposing it, advocating for prosecution for everyone involved. Yes. And this is the first family.
Oh.
The first family with these pictures that are, I mean, it's embarrassing. I wouldn't show this book to my mother if she were around because it'd be embarrassing.
There is a disclaimer. We don't have a trigger warning, but on the very first page it says, given the explicit nature of the content on the bottom laptop, this is for an adult readership.
Oh, it is for adults. But the concept, you know, the deeper point is not just sex crimes. It is what you're saying, but it is the loss of the rule of law. You're saying if you are an average, peasant in America, and you don't really matter, you're going to get arrested. But these people are trafficking, and the videos, and actually you list separately, which is great, non-consensual pornography.
Yes.
Many of these women thought, wow, Hunter Biden, he's famous, but not knowing they're being videoed, they're being photographed, and it's all in here.
And he uploaded them to pornography websites that you can still go view today. His pornography accounts are still active today, and his dad's in the Oval Office.
Yeah, so, you know, I commend you because the book really does lay out, lays out crime, not just at the federal level, but even if state prosecutors decide they cared. You've done their research. You prepared their memos for them. They just
I've talked to two state AGs. The AGs are interested. I'm not certain that they're dogged enough. I would like to see much more energy. But there are state level AGs that are interested in a couple of them. Of the money laundering offenses are within the statute of limitations at the state level. So Joey B. will pardon his son if David Weiss, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Delaware, grows a backbone and charges Hunter for anything. Joey might let the trial go through, but there's no way Hunter is spending a day in federal pen. It'll be the last thing Joe does.
So given that, because this lays out crimes, not just Hunter, not just Joe Biden, but really numerous people in the extended family. It's family, and then it's his business cohorts. It lays out, every bit of data you could need, including reference to the statutes that apply. But you don't think anything's going to come of it?
At
you don't
the federal level, no.
Okay.
But why at the end we say there are many state-level statutes that have to be actioned. The reason why is because Joe can't pardon state crimes. He can only pardon federal crimes.
Right. True story. So that is the reason to write this? And were there other reasons to write
historical,
this?
Historical. And I'm a nerd. So I looked at this as a great...
I love nerds.
The amount of data in this is unconscionable, 200 gigabytes. We're lucky. Tom Fitton, God love him, he goes to litigation for 9 months for like 10 emails from an agency that have half of them redacted. We have this laptop that's been dropped, and that's why we created the site BidenLaptopEmails.com. It's got over 1 million unique views. We put all the emails online. Anybody in the world with internet connection can go download the entire Biden laptop email cache.
I want to be sure we get that in before we get to questions. BidenLaptopEmails.com. .com. And you can actually, I went there, you can click on something, it'll bring everything up you possibly want to have. So it's a great resource that you can all go to. And remember, if you'd like to participate in guessing how many millions we know were transferred from CCP, the Biden family, whoever's closest gets this book.
And this is a floor, so it could be more. This is the one we have a paper trail for.
Yeah. So I do want to start our questions. I feel like I have one more quick thing to ask you about. The totals I want to say again. 633-page report, 459 alleged crimes, there were 128,000 emails, and it's all organized in the most astonishingly logical, with footnotes. You can look it up yourself. And so you don't really have to, there's nothing conclusory just stated here without facts, which I think makes all the difference for people saying, well, they don't really know. It's all in here, and
and we include the exhibits.
Yeah.
So somebody doesn't have to go look somewhere else to find something that we're talking about. We include it in the report. And the last thing I'll say before the questions is, this is a team effort. I recognize my own limitations. I recognize my youth, and there are things that I need help on. And so this was a result of many, many people. I sent this to, high school English teachers who have master's degrees that just went line by line because there are a lot of mistakes I made. So when it was put out, it was the result of literally dozens, like Melanie, you know, the person who puts in touch. She read it back in, you know, April of 2022
when
it was just in draft. So I want to thank them. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay. Also, Miranda Devine had a short little, I'm working on getting her in the show. She's an incredible writer. She had a brief, this is what it looked like, a brief article she had up on New York Post.
Yes.
Anyway, you might want to take that look too, just a great summary of this. So we have, Happy, someone has a microphone right there, and we're going to get, you have to stand right here. You go, come up to, and stand right here and speak right into the microphone so that our Happy listeners can hear you.
I first thank you so much for doing this, and you know I think the thoughts of it were sort of a tawdry voyeur kind of book is not the case. I mean, there's just the financial money laundering is really the big issue in selling out your country. I wanted to ask, in the last couple of days, you hear the bank flags with the mysterious third Biden.
Yes.
Do you want to say who did you, can you tell us?
Yeah, it's out now. James Comer, somebody on his staff revealed it. It is Hallie Biden, the widow of Beau Biden. And it's no surprise to us. Hunter and her shared bank accounts. So this money was ultimately meant for Hunter, but this is a common tactic of money launderers to have front men. So they don't put everything in their own name. We are tracking another case that involves Larry Ray, who started a sex cult in New York, basically lived in his daughter's dorm at Sarah Lawrence College and ended up pimping out one of her classmates. He never had a bank account. He actually kept it in other people's names, $2.5 million. So it's no surprise that Hallie was taking payments. Hallie's a school counselor. I love school counselors in general, but she has no clue about Chinese private equity. So it's in Hallie's name, but she's just being used in that scenario. There are much better people to go after than Hallie, namely Jimmy Biden's wife, Sarah.
We didn't even talk about Jimmy Biden, but okay, we have another question, I think.
Well, I think it was just also his artistic talents. Was there any mention of that in the...
We have a lot up our sleeves. The next thing I was going to say is that Hunter went after us. He asked his daddy's agencies, particularly the IRS, to take away our nonprofit tax exempt status the first week of April. So Hunter hates me probably more than anyone in the world. So the reason why I'm bringing that up is because we're really going after the art payments. The art payments is what they don't want to come out because it's going to say who exactly is paying for his doodles.
Garrett, quick question. What are the chances of getting the goods on the Biden crime family with Representative Comer and these 150 suspicious activities that they've got their hands on now? The bank, the money laundering information. I'm very hopeful that that will reveal just how rotten these people are.
Mm-hmm. When I met with the congressional investigators, not the congressman himself, but his staff, can I go to one page in the report?
Absolutely.
His name is Brent Sheehan, and he is the source of those 150 SARs. We had another whistleblower come to us from another U.S. bank and gave us 5 SARs. These are things that the banks file with the Department of the Treasury talking about suspicious wire transfers. So we have 5 of them. Then there's another 150. And the reason why I'm bringing this guy up is that it's on page 565, and it goes into civil penalties. That's his picture. And Brent Shaheen worked at Morgan Stanley. So those 150 wire, or those SARs came from Morgan Stanley. And what I told the congressional investigators, because I like to answer, there's always a person on my shoulder telling me to get out the 5 W's, the who, where, when, what, right? So Brent Shaheen's the who. He knows more than anybody. He needs to be subpoenaed by the Congress. But what they need to do is send criminal referrals to state-level prosecutors. Because if Jamie Comer sends a letter to Merrick Garland, it's going to go in the wastebasket. They're not going to prosecute Hunter at the federal level. What needs to occur, because I've studied this more than Jamie Comer, God love him, and all these other people, is send letters on congressional letterhead from the Oversight Committee to the AG of Arkansas, to the AG of New York. And Arkansas and Louisiana are the two states that have AGs that are not crazy. The AGs in New York and California are just... they're nuts. Yeah, they're nuts. So AGs of Arkansas and Louisiana, they need to be the recipients of this evidence.
I'm curious about Bubba Linsky that created the video a year ago that got around, and how that plays in.
Yeah, Tony talked to me.
And I'll guess $8 million.
That is it, like The Price is Right, where it's over. You got to do over like $1. Remember that, Bob Barker? God love him. He's still alive, by the way, Bob Barker. But the Bob Alinsky talked to me a fair amount, a half a dozen times. We had very long calls a couple of times. Tony's just telling the truth. Tony was the only one with class to come forward. We still talk about him in the report a lot because he did sign up to spread the Belt and Road Initiative around the world. So it's not like his hands are completely clean, but he did do the honorable thing and the courageous thing and produce all of the documentation. He met with Joey twice. I'd love one reporter to ask him, hey, why were you at the Beverly Hilton on May 2nd, 2017 with Tony Bobulinski in the lobby for an hour and a half? Nobody's asked him that. It's insane. Because they talked about the FARA violations they were going to do with CEFC. They talked about how they were going to CEFC was the private sector arm of the One Belt, One Road initiative, which is